Charlotte. Can you hit start for me?
We ready? We ready.
Thank you, bro.
Brother Dunn.
We going live, bro. Well, good evening, everyone. Hope everybody's been having a good week this week. And it don't look like we're snowed in anymore. And, we may have been dusted in a little bit of dust, snow dust. But anyway, it was, I understand the meteorologists and all trying to, really make it a big thing. I guess, what was it, 2014, something like that, maybe a little after that, where they were late pulling the trigger on letting everybody, tell them to go home and just getting ready to, pour snow. And y'all already know about that, the snowmageddon we had, snowpocalypse, and it was crazy. I actually read an article not long ago about that time, and, Freddie Freeman got stuck in that snow. And Chipper Jones got on a four-wheeler and went to rescue him. True story. In the snow. That's kind of funny. And so, really?
Yeah.
That's a good place to stay tonight.
Yeah.
There you go. All that you want. Absolutely. Absolutely. But anyway, we, of course, you got to call them post. We felt led to, or most did, felt led to dismiss services last Sunday, and we had the one on Facebook Live, and most churches did that. I don't think I can think of one church that was in service around here last Sunday, but anyway, we feel good about that. Now we're moving on, and they're saying for possible snow Friday, but that's not going to be nothing. I mean, it's the map is showing us barely going to touch LJ. And so, anyway, it's time to get back in church. So we're looking forward to being back this Sunday. And again, we just want to welcome everyone tonight, and good to be back in God's house. I want to dive right into our prayer request updates, and let me just start out here among you guys. Anything new? Anything you need prayer for? Any updates? Brother David? Yes. Okay. And he's still in the home? Okay. They did. Okay.
And a good friend of ours, she has COVID, and I'm pretty sure it's the new variant, but she has been really sick, and she's got acute bronchitis on top of that. So, down from Lisa Burks.
Let's remember this request. A lot of people sick right now. Let's remember them. Anybody else? Let me just go down the list, and if I miss something, just holler back at me. But let's remember our children's home, and all of our children and our house parents and staff there. Miss Ruby Harper, Brother Harold Dolph, Leonard, and Dolores Palmer, and he had his doctor's appointment last week, I believe. And so let's continue to pray for him. And Miss Mary Ann's here. Good to see Miss Mary Ann. And let's remember her and Brother Ed. James and Shirley Townsend, Johnny and Pat Eccles. Let's remember Mary Kelly, the Teagues, Miss Dawn Daly. She had bronchitis, and it wouldn't get any good last week. But Jim Jr. texted me today, and she's better, getting almost 100%, so we'll take it. And just remember her, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Randy and Janet Bailey, Charlie Wilson. Brother Don said he had a visit with Brother Charlie this week, and he's about the same, but let's pray for him. Melissa Slagle, Don and Carla Rich, and let's see, Miss Mary and Lee Ellen, they're at home tonight. And I'm sure they're watching. And today is Miss Mary's birthday. So, Miss Mary, happy birthday to you. And we love you and hope you're doing well. I think she wasn't feeling well or something another happened today. Nothing major, but she's at home resting tonight. So happy birthday to you. Claudia Darby, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Gerald and Francis Carroll, our shut-ins, James Tolan Brown, Peyton Cochran, Kevin Brook, all of our young people that have went out into the wild blue yonder to serve the Lord. And so let's remember them in our prayers. Also, Brother Bobby McClendon just mentioned to me. He told me the other day we've been praying for him. But his brother, Jim, that's right, Jim? Yeah. Jim McClendon is having surgery in the morning. He's having a pacemaker slash oblation of some kind in the heart. And that's going to be done in the morning. Supposed to be outpatient. And he's in Columbus, Georgia. So let's remember Jim in our prayers tonight that he'll have a good visit to the doctor in the morning and a good recovery process as well. All right. Well, do we have anything else? Meant to mention this. Alan Clayton, he's all better, and he'll be back Sunday. Trell Norton, he hasn't let me know about his wife, Connie, if she's any better, but we'll continue to pray for her. And Miss Helen Bennett with her health issues. And then, Brother David, I'm sure you're doing good on your therapy. Yes, sir. Going back to work next week. Yes, sir. Close your ears, Glenda. Didn't mean for you to hear that. And so Miss Glenda's not happy about Brother David going back to work. But he'll be in your heart, won't he, Miss Glenda? All right. Well, anything else before we pray tonight? All right. Well, all that would, meet us in the altar, and we'll have a time of prayer together. And then Brother Jeff has a song for us, and he's going to play that with a harmonica tonight. And I don't know if I spoiled it or not, but I mentioned we went from guitar to harmonica. I'm sure we'll go back to guitar soon enough. All right. appreciate that, Brother Jeff. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I want to read from verse number 17 down through verse 21, the remaining part of that chapter, chapter 5. And we're going to have us another classroom style lesson tonight. And so I hope it'll be a blessing to you. That's what the Lord laid on my heart. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Let's bow for prayer, and then I'm going to begin reading verse number 17. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you. God, we're thankful for those quiet times where you call us aside. And Lord, you are our refuge during that time, and we're able to be at peace with ourselves. Lord, help us continue to do that. Never try to shoulder the weight of the burdens, Lord, that we all carry. Help us always go to you in prayer and rely upon you. Meet with us tonight in the next few moments. I pray that you would take your word and apply it to the hearts of your people. And Lord, we will be careful to thank you for everything that you've done, everything that you're doing, and everything that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's a word in these verses that has been used repetitively in these verses that I read to you, and that is the word reconciliation. Reconciliation. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, is that word, reconciliation. A couple Wednesday nights ago, we looked at a salvation word, and this would be also a salvation word. But the other Wednesday night, we looked at the salvation word imputation, which means to place on one's account. And we know that that's what happened when Jesus died upon the cross and when we accepted him as our personal Savior. He placed upon our account his righteousness. And our account, what was on our account, our sin was paid for at the cross. And so tonight, the word reconciliation. And I want to mention three things about this word. But then, on my third point, I have several points to make, and so we'll try to be through with this tonight. We may not. Reconciliation, the meaning of the word reconciliation. The New Testament word reconciliation means exchange. It means restoration to the divine favor. It means atonement. Brother Jeff mentioned just a moment ago, that word atonement. And so it means exchange. It also means adjustment. It means to restore to the divine favor. It means atonement. It means to reconcile. Now this word, it bears the idea to be adjusted, listen to this, to a special standard, to conform to a standard. It bears the idea to be adjusted to a special standard or to conform to a standard. I'll give you a couple examples of this. Again, the word reconciliation is what we're talking about. So say a person is at the bank and the bank teller gives them, that person, a balance of their account. Well, the person that's at the bank has their checkbook and they say, well, that's not what I have in my checkbook. And so what happens is that person begins to reconcile in his mind through his login in his checkbook, begins to try to reconcile what he has to what the actual sum is that he has in his account. And so it's a person adjusting their checkbook to conform to the statement that's provided by the bank. And so we can say it this way. We can say that he is reconciling his checkbook to the standard provided by the bank. Let me give you another example. It's like a person that is setting the time on their watch. All right? The person that's setting the time on their watch may do this by a chronometer. Has anybody ever heard of that? A chronometer? It's a special tool, an instrument for measuring time precisely. And so it's a highly accurate kind of clock or watch, this instrument, this tool that's used to set it precisely. And so we can say that when a man sets his watch by a chronometer, that he is reconciling his watch to a set standard. We're talking about reconciliation tonight. And we know that man or God's standard is above man's ability to fulfill. We know that. The Bible also says that if we're guilty of breaking the law of God, we're guilty of all of the law. We're guilty in one area, but then we're guilty of all areas. And so man has broken God's standard from the beginning of time. And there's been this attempt to reconcile to that. There's false religions and cults in our communities, in our world. They're trying to earn their way to God. They're trying to put forth a really good effort. They're trying to do enough right. They're trying to be self-righteous in order to reconcile, hopefully, to God's good standards. And we know this can't be done. And so the meaning of the word reconciliation basically has to do with adjusting into a standard that's set before us. Now, let me mention something else. Not only the meaning of reconciliation, but the must of reconciliation. The must. Listen to this. Because of sin, man walks contrary to the standards of God. We know that. Man is out of balance and unstable in all his ways. We see that in our world, our community. People being murdered and robbery and child abuse and all those kind of things. That is the wickedness of man. Man is out of balance. Man is depraved and unstable in all his ways. The Bible says that man is without strength in Romans chapter 5 in verse number 6. Meaning that man is weak and totally unable to render himself acceptable to God. The weakness of man. We are unable to mount up to God's standards. We are unable within ourselves to be acceptable to God by our own efforts and goodness. And so man cannot, by his own merits, conform himself to the standard set by God. Romans 5:6, I just mentioned that a moment ago. But Paul says that man is also ungodly. He's ungodly. This means that he is wicked and does not conform to the standards set by God. And then Paul tells us that we are, or we were sinners in Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's Romans 5:8. This means that we practiced and performed unrighteousness and ungodliness. Men are sinners by nature, born a sinner, we know that. But they are also sinners because of their practice. I heard one person say it this way about sin, that, you know, sin, how did he put it? Sin is the fruit, but the sinner is the root. You see, it's because we are natural born sinners, that's why we sin. And so we got to get to the root of our nature. And so whenever Jesus died upon the cross, not only did he open up a new and living way for heaven unto us, but we have the new nature, and he has given us his nature. And so now we are able to do what God wants us to do. But listen to this. Every individual has missed the standard set forth by God through his word. Paul says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And to come short means to miss the mark. Miss the mark. We've all have missed the mark in our lives. And so the must for reconciliation is what we're looking at on the second point. We must be reconciled because man is depraved and man is wicked. Now, what is the standard set by God? God himself is the very standard by which men will be judged. It's by God's standards. God has not, nor can he, set a standard apart from himself. He is complete perfection, unchangeable in all of his divine attributes. God is the standard. Every individual has missed that standard set forth by God through his word. And so we see that it is through his inspired word that he reveals his holiness and sets the standard for man to live by. And so we're just trying to paint this picture of why we need to be reconciled. And so God's word is the standard. Romans 5:9 says that man is under the wrath of God. And so man can be saved from wrath only through Jesus Christ. Man is an enemy of God because of sin and his rebellion toward God. Romans 5:10 speaks of that. Also in Romans 5:10, there's the word enemies there. And the word enemies means to hate or be hateful. It means to be hostile or to be an adversary. And so literally, before salvation, we were an adversary of God. We were at enmity. We were hostile. We were hateful, so to speak. We didn't acknowledge God and couldn't live up to his standards. And so we were by nature the enemy of God and under the control of Satan. And because of this, under the wrath of God. And that, you can read about that in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 1 through 3. And so that's the must for reconciliation, because we're natural born sinners. And then the meaning of reconciliation has to do with adjusting to a special standard. It means adjustment. It means exchange. Now, what about the means? The means of reconciliation. We looked at the meaning. We looked at the must. But what about the means? Well, we all know that Christ is the means by which we are reconciled back to God. But I do want to mention some other things that take place when we're reconciled, and how this word reconciliation plays out in our life. But the means of our reconciliation is through Christ. Now, we're here in 2 Corinthians 5. Look, if you would, in verse number 17. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so first, Paul uses the term in Christ. And so to be in Christ is to be in the body of Christ, the body of who he is. The body to be in Christ is to be a part of his body, the church, to be in Christ. And so he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It also means that we are safe in him, just as Noah was safe in the ark, which was an excellent picture of salvation found in Christ. Paul says we are hid with God in Christ, Colossians 3:3. And we have a safe, complete salvation in Christ. And so Colossians chapter number 3 is a good chapter to read in its entirety. And so we know that reconciliation, the means, is Christ. Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We're a new creature because we've been reconciled to God by Christ. And all things are new now. And which leads me to my next point in verse 17. He says that we are a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. This simply means that the moment we get saved and accept Jesus as our Savior, we are a new creation or born anew in Christ. This means we have a new standing with God. Our old standing was one of unrighteousness, unholiness, unfit, an enemy, and under condemnation. Our new standing is one of great blessing, sonship, justification, forgiveness, and eternal security in heaven through Christ. This is what Paul means when he says, old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. We have a new standing in Christ. We have blessing on top of blessing. Again, sonship, justification, all of these things and much more. Now, look with me, if you would, in verse 18. So we mentioned that Christ is the means, and we know that we're a new creation in Christ. But then in verse number 18, the Bible says that God hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And so God has reconciled us to himself. Man could not meet the standards set by God. So God made a way for us to enter into a relationship with him, and that would be through the death of Jesus on the cross, who became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness in him. And verse number 21, read with, he says here, he says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Tonight, we are righteous. And it was because of the plan that God set in place. He says he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. So he took upon him all of our sin. And in exchange, we were imputed unto us, it was imputed, his righteousness. And so what a blessing that is to know. That we are righteous before God. Even when we mess up and even when we falter, we're still righteous. All right. It's God that changes our standing and makes us a new creation in Christ. When God sees the soul of the man that has trusted Jesus, he no longer sees him lost, unrighteous, or ungodly, but covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is very important Because when we set out to live our Christian life, again, when we miss the mark, we fall short. If we're not careful, we'll beat ourselves up. But the thing about it is, God knew it, and he knew about it before we did it, still saved us anyway, still gave us his righteousness. And so when God the Father sees us, his child, he doesn't see us as a lost, unrighteous person, but one who's covered in the righteousness of Jesus. That's enough to take you to church every Sunday and every Wednesday, right there. So praise the Lord for that. The standard has been met in Christ. Jesus is the only man that has ever lived up to God's holy standards in his word. And so look at verse number 19. Verse number 19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, in this particular verse, one thing that we see here, the phrase, God was in Christ. And so he's speaking about the reincarnation of God being in Christ. I thought that was a blessing, that little nugget there, to wit that God was in Christ. Let's see here, where are we at? Okay. Well, notice something else in verse number 19. He says, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Now, does that mean that Jesus died upon the cross and because of that the whole world saved? That ain't what that means. No, that ain't what that means. He says, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And so it does not mean all the world is saved, or that all the world would be saved one day, but that salvation is possible for all men through Jesus. When Jesus died at Calvary, he died for all men, but every man must trust him as his own Lord and Savior. All right, let's see. Verse number 19 again. We just read that verse, but I'm going to mention one more thing from that verse. The word imputing is here. I mentioned that just a moment ago. But reconciliation involves the act of imputation. Reconciliation involves the act of imputation. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. To impute, again, we're saying this again, we're reiterating. To impute means to reckon or to put on another's account. It means that Jesus took our sin upon himself and died for those sins. Our sins were placed upon him and he died for us. The Lord God laid on Jesus the sins of all men. And so tonight, when a sinner trusts Christ as their Savior, the righteousness of Jesus is then imputed to them, and they now have a new standing, one of righteousness. And so tonight, if there's ever been a time and place where you called upon Jesus for salvation, I know there has been, based upon your testimonies. When days come, if you may doubt your salvation, things like that, maybe there has been some days, all you have to do is go to these scriptures where he talks about reconciliation and imputation. It's all about what Christ done for us, and it's not what we've done. He knew we were going to mess up before we messed up. Again, Romans 5:8 talks about that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. And so when Jesus died upon the cross, it was way before we were even born. And so why would a struggle of mine, why would a sin of mine, a time when I would slip and stumble, why would that bother me? Yeah, maybe conviction, things like that. But that or regret really shouldn't bother me. Yeah, we ought to mourn over our sin, but regret, all of those things, I shouldn't allow it to knock me down and all those things. But just rejoice in the fact that that we're righteous, made righteous in Him. All right, let's see here. All right, verse number 20, I believe it is. Verse number 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. All right, Back up to verse, I'm all over the place tonight. I want to mention one more thing out of verse 18. Notice in the latter part of verse 18, the ministry of reconciliation. And so we know that reconciliation, again, I told you it's going to be classroom style. It's always like this when I say that. Reconciliation is when we are reconciled to God by Christ. But those of us who have been reconciled, we now have a ministry of reconciliation. And we are ambassadors, back down to verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now, Paul was talking to the church of Corinth, and we know there's a very carnal church. And Paul had to address some things. 1 Corinthians has to do with his correction. And 2 Corinthians has to do with his vindication of himself as an apostle. And so Paul is talking about reconciliation because he's wanting them to be reconciled back to God because of their sin. Now, many of them's already saved, but there's still a relationship there. And there still has to be repentance there. And so Paul is talking about reconciliation here in verse number 20. Concerning Corinth, I believe. Now, let's see. Verse number 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so that's telling us the same thing. That we are made righteous because of Jesus. Now, let's see here. Man, my notes are all over the place tonight. Y'all just give me a second. Turn over, if you would, for a moment. There's something else I want to mention. Book of Romans. Romans chapter number 5 for a second. Romans chapter number 5, in verse number 11. The word reconciliation also means, and I mentioned it when we first started, another word, the word atonement, like Brother Jeff used just a moment ago. Romans 5 and verse number 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. All right? Now, what does this word atonement mean? Well, it means reconciliation. So this verse tells us that we have received the atonement or reconciliation by Jesus. The word atonement is found 70 verses in the Bible and only one time in the New Testament, this verse here. Atonement is used once in the New Testament, again, 70 times in the Old. The Old Testament word atonement is the Hebrew word kafar, and it means to cover, it means to appease, if you will. It means to pacify, put off, or to reconcile. So the Old Testament sacrifice that were given yearly and even daily, those only pacified or appeased God and put off the judgment for another year until another sacrifice could be offered. So the effect of the Old Testament offering was to cover the sin of the transgressor. Now, the New Testament word atonement in simple form means, listen to this, at one mint. If you break that word down, It's at one meant. It's the making of two estranged persons at one. Through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, the sinner can be at one with God. He can meet the standard required by God in the person of Jesus Christ. The believer is in Christ. The righteousness of Christ is imputed to him, and he now stands holy and righteous in Christ. I don't know about you tonight, but that helps me a lot. It takes the pressure off. But it's taken every bit of 19 years of being saved to get to this point. We're not perfect people. And there's times where you just have to embrace the Scriptures to really know what you got. There's some other things I was going to mention tonight. But I believe we'll stop there. And maybe we'll pick it up next week. Or we might go in another direction. Through a little bit early, but that was the message on reconciliation. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for who you are and for what you do. Lord, I pray that you'll take the lesson tonight. And sometimes, Lord, it's long, it's wordy. Sometimes it's not. But Lord, I feel like I've delivered what you wanted me to deliver tonight. And it does us all good to go back and rediscover what we have in you. Lord, if we're in you, we're a new creature. And we've been reconciled back to you through Jesus. And we're so very thankful for that. Again, Father, tonight we pray for Brother Bobby's brother who's getting ready to have surgery in the morning. Lord, that you'd be with him and touch him in a very mighty way. Be with all the others. Be with the prayer. All those on our prayer list, Father, we'll just be thankful and grateful for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anything to mention before we close out for tonight? Y'all forgive me, my contacts are completely fogged up right now. That has never happened to me. Completely fogged up. All right, well, y'all been good like you always are. We appreciate it. And Lord willing, we'll see you Sunday.